number three here on WEEI. We flipped over to the afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us here. January 1, 2025. Dan Ball with you in for Jones and Keefe. Full lineup back tomorrow as we're fully back in the new year on a Thursday, getting ready for Patriots football on a Sunday. So Greg Hill Show, Jones and Keefe, WEEI Afternoons. Whole crew is back and better than ever beginning tomorrow. So we've made it through the holiday season. Excited to bring you the stretch run of the Patriots season, NFL playoffs, a lot of draft talk, stuff like that. So full lineup will be back tomorrow. We'll take you up until 1 o'clock today. My good friend Tom Christofioli back behind the glass, by the way. He's been ripping the tunes and also getting you caught up on what's trending all day today. And the two of us are with you up until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Full coverage of the college football playoff begins at that time here on WEEI, and we'll get you ready for that with Max Chadwick from Pro Football Focus, who's going to join us in our next segment. Gerard Mayo spoke to the media. I'm sure that makes some people who heard that sentence roll their eyes. He said, "My message to players is to finish the season strong. If players are healthy, they will play and should expect to play." There were more specific details from Coach Mayo about that sentiment. First of all, before we get to that, Gerard Mayo said the decision to release Yannick Ngakoue was to allow him to hook on with a contender similar to what the Cowboys did with Ezekiel Elliott. He commends Ngakoue for his time with the Patriots. So that is where that release that happened a couple of days ago came for. He was put on waivers and was looking to latch on with a team. It was mentioned on that day that that the Bengals had put in a claim, as had the Baltimore Ravens, and so that's where that sentence went. Now to the meat and potatoes of the media availability. Patriots head coach, reading from NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk, Gerard Mayo said earlier this week that everything is under consideration. He followed up earlier today saying, quote, "Drake is our starting quarterback. If he's healthy and ready to go as we go through this week of practice, he'll play." Mayo continued, "I've never been part of a team as a player or as a coach going into the game not wanting to win, and it's not going to change today. That's our message to the team." May, meanwhile, said, quote, "I'm preparing like I'm the starter. I think I'm going to be the starter, so I'm looking forward to being out there. I think I'm ready to go out there and win and compete. Win a close game. I want to get out there and get experience in these close games that you just can't replicate in practice. You can't get those reps anywhere else." 12 appearances, 11 starts, 67% completion percentage, 2,276 yards, 15 touchdowns, 10 picks. The numbers for Drake May to this point in the season. And you know how many of those numbers that I want to see change by the time that we all speak to each other on Monday? None of them. Here's the out that Gerard Mayo gave himself and gave the franchise. "Drake is our starting quarterback." Okay, fine. It's the next sentence. "If he's healthy and ready to go, as we go through this week of practice, he'll play." That was not an unequivocal, no holds barred, 100% guarantee, Charles Barkley, that Drake May is going to play. He put in the caveat. He put in the out clause. If he's healthy and ready to go. So, if with concussion symptoms or a strained this, a banged up that, if all of a sudden Drake May lands on an injury report at some point, well, isn't that interesting? Where did that come from, guys? There's the out in that sentence, at least to me. Maybe I'm perceiving it the wrong way, and maybe I'm reading too much into context that isn't actually there. But if there was absolutely no thought that Drake wouldn't be the starter, why include the part about if he's healthy and ready to go? Why include that? So is that just a nothing burger and a throwaway line, or is that a nugget into where this coaching staff is right now and what's going to then be used as the week goes along? It's interesting. And again, there may legitimately be nothing here, but there is an out clause. And we've talked about this earlier, and I will try not to repeat myself as I break this down once again. I just don't see the benefit. I really don't. I really, really don't. There's nothing left to prove at this point for this player. I read those numbers out. Yeah, the interceptions suck. But everything else points to, hey, at least there is something worth getting excited about. And I also understand that there's a subset of the fan base that is disappointed. And we actually have one on the line now, and I will get to that in just a moment. I understand that the turnovers are an issue, but come on, look at what's around him and remember that he's a rookie who also did not start the season as the starter. 12 games, 11 starts. Those are the numbers. So this is a learning experience. He's going to make mistakes. He has made mistakes. But by and large, once we get to the final whistle of Patriots and Bills in Week 18, what more is there to learn about Drake May going into this offseason? Rest of your roster, you want to observe what you have with the young guys, with the veterans, guys on expiring contracts. Go nuts. What am I going to learn with Drake May playing against the B-teamers in Buffalo? So maybe he does start. I would be stunned, even if he does play, if he plays the whole game. I don't get it. I don't get it. This is for the greater good. And Mayo can say whatever he wants. I've never been part of a team as a player or a coach going into the game not wanting to win, and it's not going to change today. Yeah, you're still going to be competitive. It's not like you're, you know, signing me and Tom to go play corner. Like, you still have NFL caliber players. I use that term is doing a lot of work in that sense.
They're better than us.
yeah, leave it at. They are. They're somewhere between NFL caliber players and you and me, who is probably going to end up doing a lot of the playing. Again, NFL caliber is doing a ton of work in that sentence. You're still putting NFL adjacent players on the roster in a lot of your positions. That's not obvious tanking. It is, you know, it's certainly given guys opportunities and a wink, wink, nod, nod toward the first overall pick. But I just personally, I don't see any positive. If he goes out and balls and they win the game, you've completely taken yourself out of a spot of leverage within the entire National Football League. If he balls and they lose a close game, okay, great. Fine. I mean, is it? I guess you did just see that. You can bank on he's going to do it again, and it'll be another 24-21 kind of game, and you'll be right there to the end, and you fought hard, and yeah, rah, rah, whatever. Is it realistic? I don't know. To tempt fate and say that you're going to play Drake May the full game and lose a close, hard-fought game against Buffalo twice in 3 weeks, that doesn't seem responsible to me. In terms of what you're trying to fight for, which is the number one overall pick, and the best opportunity to make your team good as quickly as possible, which is acquiring assets and bringing in good players to help your roster. 617-779-7937. David in the car, why is Drake May overpraised?
And I'll tell you why. Yeah. Thank you for taking the call, and good afternoon. Yeah. Happy New Year.
Thank
so
you,
the
sir,
reason I say this is he should play.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why he should play, and I'll tell you why he's overpraised.
Okay.
We did the same thing. He's a good quarterback. He's showing that he can be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did the same thing with Mac Jones. We praised Mac Jones the first year. Mac Jones set some records the first year as a rookie.
Yeah.
There was a lot of – you look at Mac Jones' numbers the rookie year. He had great numbers. He set some records as a rookie. So – and we did the same thing. We praised him, how well he was doing, how good he was going to be for the franchise, yada, yada, yada. And then what happened? He got broken down.
Yep.
The same thing can happen. And the reason you should play, and I'll share with you real quick why I think you should play him.
Okay.
And he should play the whole game.
Okay.
I played professional sports, a different sport, but I did. And one of the things my manager always told me on the sport that I played, and he told all the players, it don't matter if you're out of the game for the season. It don't matter if you think you're going to, you play like it's a champion or a playoff game, because
yep.
that's the experience you learn, that you have to treat it just like, okay, next year, if you're in a situation where it's a do or die game, how do you play? How do you handle the situation? Being away from home, being in a hostile environment.
Right.
If you take a guy off the field, this is why I think the Chiefs are going to lose on the first round of the playoffs, because what they do with Mahomes and some of the starters, it's a mistake. You're taking them out of the environment that they used to be in every week. You do that for 3 weeks, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Mark my words, Chiefs will be out on the first game at home.
Okay, fair enough. David, thank you for the call. A lot to sink your teeth into there. We do have to take a break, so we'll do it here. The Mac and May thing, which, by the way, it's going to be a comparison for a long time. It's the two young drafted quarterbacks in the post-Brady era, so they're always going to be measured against each other. Yeah, 10-7, 3,801 passing yards, 22 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions. He then, in the future, broke down and had a defensive coordinator as his offensive coordinator and didn't have pieces around him and didn't get along with the head coach. And that's all. That all happened in years 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm not praising Drake May, saying that he's going to be an MVP next year or 2 years from now or 3 years from now. I'm praising what I see in front of me, which is a very good quarterback prospect. And that's it. If he continues to grow on this trajectory, I think it's reasonable to think that the Patriots have a very good, possibly at some point elite, quarterback. To not praise him for the steps that he's taken with the roster around him is just, I don't know. I think that's just being negative for the sake of being negative. And you have to be positive about something. I think given the circumstances, I completely disagree with anybody that wants to trash May in the season that he's put together. But David, I appreciate the opinion, even if we disagree. I know it's out there, and happy new year to you. We do need to take a break as we're talking college football with Max Chadwick from Pro Football Focus on the other side of this break. But before all of that happens, Tom tells you what's trending.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Back here on WEEI, about a half hour away from the beginning of our coverage of the college football playoff, and just a minute or so, we'll be joined by Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus to preview those games. One team already through, that was Penn State, who has the number 6 seed in the first of the 4 quarterfinal games, upended Boise State. That final was 31-14. The 6-seeded Nittany Lions move on. 3 touchdowns on 171 passing yards for Drew Aller. They got one on the ground from Nicholas Singleton. And Maddox Madsen threw 3 interceptions as part of it. The defense for the Nittany Lions in this college football playoff has been outstanding. So they move on. They'll wait for their opponent in the semifinal game. 3 games in the quarterfinal happening today, beginning at 1 o'clock with Texas and Arizona State. The Sun Devils, the 4 seed. The Longhorns, the 5 seed. Followed by the number 1 seed, Oregon. They'll play number 8 seeded Ohio State today, a little bit later on at 5 o'clock. And then the final game, the number 2 seeded Georgia. They will take on the 7th seed in Notre Dame. 8:45 kickoff for that one. So a lot of great college football action here as the season kind of starts to wind down. And as part of our conversation, I am curious to hear his thoughts on the current size of the college football playoff, because the 12 team, I don't know, that first round kind of stunk. But with that being said, we welcome on from Pro Football Focus college football analyst Max Chadwick. Max Damball here in Boston. Great to talk to you again. How are you?
Yeah, you guys got me.
Hey, Max, how are you, man? Good to talk to you.
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Appreciate the time. Happy New Year to you. We appreciate it on such a busy college football day. So want to start with the first of the 4 quarterfinal games that we saw yesterday, with Penn State winning, beating Boise State. How much of that, in your estimation, was Penn State dominating, and how much was Boise State maybe being in over their heads?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. I think Penn State did a really good job containing Ashton Jeanty, obviously. I think most of his yards came after contact. I think it was like 75 of his 104 rushing yards came after contact in that game. So Penn State did a great job of getting to him quickly and swarming to him. So Jinsy still played well, I thought. You know, he broke 19 tackles on his 33 touches, which is an insane rate. But like I said, the issue was he was getting contacted pretty close to the line of scrimmage, so he was not able to get anything going, really, for Boise State. So Penn State won in the trenches. I think that was a big part of it. Penn State's run game dominated as well. Drew Aller made some really nice throws as well in the first half, especially. So, yeah, I thought Penn State did a great job yesterday and just weathered the storm a little bit.
Can Penn State, and specifically can James Franklin, win the big game this year? Do they have something that's a differentiating factor from years past?
Yeah, I think they can. I think obviously now they're in the college football playoff semifinals, so I think that's already they're already playing with house money at this point, in my opinion. Like, I think this is still a terrific season for Penn State.
Yeah,
yeah, they can. I think they have a great defense. We'll see what happens to Abdul Carter and how if he can come back from his injury or not, because he is a major, major piece of this entire team, honestly.
Right.
But they have Drew Aller. I think Drew Aller is the best quarterback at Penn State. Maybe since Kerry Collins, honestly. Like, I think he's that kind of special. I think he's that kind of NFL quarterback. So they have Drew Aller. They got Tyler Warren, who arguably is the best tight end in America. They have a really good run game now as well with Nick Singleton and Katron Allen. So, yeah, I think they have a lot going for it right now. That they don't have great receivers, but this is a really good Penn State team that can absolutely beat Notre Dame or Georgia, and then we'll see if they can make it to the national title game when they play there.
Max, before we get to the trio of incredible games that we have in front of us today, it's our first look at the expanded college football playoff. You know, people have had ranging opinions on, is it a good thing, is it a bad thing, too many, too little. Based on what we've seen to this point with a couple of quarterfinal games remaining and after the first round games that we saw, is the current amount of teams in the college football playoff the right amount? What's your perfect college football playoff number?
Yeah, I think I think you look at what's going on in the playoff right now. I think obviously all the games have been decided by 10 or more points, so that's not great.
Yep.
I don't hate the amount of teams that are in there. I just I would say the one thing I'll say is they got to fix the seeding. I don't think the automatic bids to the quarterfinals for the conference champions is a really good thing. I think there should be automatic bids for the conference champions. I agree with that, but I think you should just seed them 1 through 12 wherever they're ranked. Honestly. And that probably would have produced some better games in the first round, and then honestly some better games and maybe even the quarterfinals too. So
yeah.
That's how I would probably fix it. I don't even know how long we're going to have a 12-team playoff. It seems like this might only be a two-year thing, and then we go to a 16-team or maybe even more
right.
Past that, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't hate the size of it. I think the seeding of it this year was a little out of whack.
We're talking with Max Chadwick, college football analyst for Pro Football Focus. You can also catch him on the PFF College Football Show. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at CFB Max Chadwick. Beginning with Texas and Arizona State, the game that we're seeing in about half an hour, Max. For both of those teams, number 4 seed, number 5 seed going into this game. What excites you on both sides in that matchup?
Yeah, I think I'm excited to see Quinn Ewers against an Arizona State defense is really good at forcing turnovers, and that's kind of the key for Arizona State to pull off the upset is to force some mistakes from Quinn Ewers. But honestly, to even get to that point, they got to slow down Texas' run game. We saw that in that game against Clemson, Travion Wisner was just outstanding, and really Quinn didn't have to do anything in that game.
Yeah.
So this one, they're going to have to slow down the run game to make sure Quinn Ewers has opportunities to screw it up. And on the other side of the ball, I mean, you got probably the best defense in the country against Arizona State. That a really, really hot start to their offense, a really hot season to their offense, I should say. Cam Scatterboo is one of the best tackle breakers in America. Texas has had some issues tackling this year. So it could look a lot like the Penn State game where Ashanti was breaking a lot of tackles, but also he's getting tackled pretty quickly. I think that could be another thing with Cam Scatterboo. I think he's got to be kind of Superman for Arizona State's offense to have any chance in this game.
How about in the 5 o'clock game, Max? We see the number 1 seeded Oregon 13-0 coming into this game this evening against an Ohio State group that is also looking to win the big game and kind of break through. So, what intrigues you about this matchup and what's made Oregon so special to this point in the season?
Yeah, I'm excited to see the rematch of what was one of the best games of the entire season back in October when Oregon only won by 1 point and Ohio State became very, very close to pulling that game off, honestly. So I'm excited to see if they could do it twice, honestly, in a neutral site. So that's going to be really fun. And then what makes Oregon so good is that they don't have a true weakness right now. I think you could point to any team in this entire playoff and point out a glaring, glaring flaw. There is not a glaring flaw in the Oregon Ducks right now. That's probably what makes them the best team in the country. Now, I will say that there's parts of Oregon that is not the best in the country. Like, I think Oregon is really good to great across the board.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're truly like special, like the best in the nation at one particular thing. But like I said, what makes them special is that they don't have a weakness right now. Whereas,
right.
like I said, every other team in the country, I could point to a glaring flaw on their team and say, yeah, that if they lose, that's going to be the reason why. I don't know what the reason will be for Oregon if they lose, besides the other teams just playing better that day, honestly. So,
yeah,
I think it's going to be a really fun game, and I'm excited to see if Ohio State can pull it off in their second try.
Love that. Okay, last game on the calendar, just a tick before 9 o'clock tonight. Number 2-seeded Georgia, number 7-seeded Notre Dame. Notre Dame at 12-1 coming into this game with Georgia at 11-2. Same question. What intrigues you on both sides, and are you leaning one way versus another? Oh, we might have lost Matt.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, yep, there you are. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, it's kind of cutting in and out right now. But I think Notre Dame and Georgia, what I would say is, obviously what's fascinating about this game is Gunnar Stockton, just how he looks in his first career start in the College Football Playoff quarterfinals. And it's a pretty massive stakes for your first career start, honestly, going up against an elite Notre Dame secondary. So I'm excited to see that, how much man coverage Notre Dame plays. I believe it'll be a lot of man coverage they play against Georgia, against them. So that'll be fun. And then obviously Jeremiah Love, Riot Leonard, their run game. Can Georgia stop that? I think it could be a really low scoring game. Honestly, it could be a rock fight tonight. And yeah, I'm excited to see who wins. I honestly have no idea what's going to happen to this game. It's kind of every other game, I kind of have an inkling of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
This one, I zero clue, honestly. I think it could be the last two games of the day today, they're going to be absolutely terrific games.
Awesome. All right. That's a great way to end our New Year's Day. Now, Max, here in New England, unfortunately, the focus has been on the draft for quite some time as the 2024 season comes to a merciful end. The Patriots landed on Drake May. It seems as though they have their quarterback, but they're also in the catbird seat coming into the final week of the season to potentially get the number one pick. So there's been a lot of chatter around Travis Hunter and how he projects out as an NFL prospect. So based on what you've seen from Travis Hunter, how do you think he could translate to the NFL game? And do you see him being a two-position weapon when he does get to the pro game?
Yeah, I think he could play both sides. I don't think he'll be doing it at the rate he is right now. I think what he'll probably be doing is play full-time corner and then play packages at wide receiver. Like I don't think you can, you know, rely on him to play two ways on both sides. Honestly, I just don't think it's really possible for him to expect that out of him, but he's a special player. I think he's the best player in the draft, honestly. And if you're New England and you get the number one pick and you can't trade it, because I think the first thing I would do if I'm New England is try to trade the pick to a team needing a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because I don't think New England is a Travis Hunter away from being a really good team. I think New England needs as many assets as possible right now. And I think trading away the pick and getting multiple first round picks if you can, or just multiple picks in general, that's really what I'd be doing from them. But if they can't trade it and they stick at number one, I would take Travis Hunter personally. I think he would be amazing next to Christian Gonzalez in the secondary. And then you have him as well to really help out Drake May. Again, maybe not as a full-time wide receiver, but he'll be there enough where it would really help Drake May in his development. So, yeah, I think Travis Hunter is the best player in the draft. He probably, if New England sticks at number one, and honestly, if anyone has a number one pick that does not need a quarterback,
yeah,
he would be my pick, honestly. But it'll be interesting to see, because I do think New England, there's a chance for New England to trade the pick and get a pretty good assets for it. So we'll see what they end up doing on draft day. But if New England does stick at number one, I do think Travis Hunter will be the best pick for them.
I'm completely there with you in terms of what I would hope that they end up doing with that pick. But regardless, but before we let you go, as the conversation continues about the draft, the quarterback class, it seems like there's a pretty steep drop off from the class that we saw in the 2024 draft and what we see this year. So as you've sorted your way through the college football season, you've seen Shedeur Sanders, you've seen Cam Ward, you've seen other quarterback prospects. Is there anybody that excites you in terms of this guy could potentially translate to the pro game and play well for his team?
Yeah, I think there's three guys I'll throw out to you, and one of them is a kind of a surprise.
Okay.
One of the two are Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. You nailed it right there. Those two are, to me, they've been incredible. Shedeur, especially for 2 years now, and Cam was, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the country this year. I think Cam presents probably a higher ceiling than Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur probably presents a higher floor. I love Shedeur's processing ability. I think upstairs, you know, he's incredibly smart.
Yeah.
Cam's a little bit more of a gunslinger, and you got to kind of tone that down a little bit. But he reminds me a lot of like a Jordan Love as well. So I would take both of them in the top 10, and I feel very comfortable about it. Now, the other guy I would throw out there that has already announced going back to school is Drew Aller.
Oh.
Drew Aller was outstanding yesterday, and I think he will end up going back to Penn State. However, if he keeps this up and he lights up Notre Dame or Georgia, and then he, say, wins the national title or plays amazing in the national title or something, I'm not ruling out him changing his mind. He has not signed anything saying, I will be back at Penn State next year, to my knowledge.
Okay.
So it would be, I don't know how it would look to be doing that, because already Penn State's backup quarterback transferred out of there thinking Drew would be going back there. So that would kind of suck for them, thinking, oh, well, we thought Drew was coming back, so the backup's gone now.
Right.
But he is so, he's been so good these last 2 years, in my opinion, and he's got, like, NFL tools for days. I think if he declared for the draft, he probably would be a top 10, top 15 pick in the draft. And that is a really hard thing for me to say, oh, I'm going to pass on that and go back to school for another year. So, again, he's already announced that he's staying another year. If I had to put money on it, I do think he will stay at Penn State. But I am not ruling out Drew Aller changing his mind, because I really do think he could be a top 10, top 15 pick if he decides to declare for this draft.
He's Max Chadwick, college football analyst for Pro Football Focus, also the co-host of PFF's College Football Show. Follow him on Twitter at CFB Max Chadwick. Max, thank you as always for the time. Appreciate the insights going into an incredible day of college football. So we appreciate the time, and Happy New Year to you and yours.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
That is Max Chadwick joining us here on WEEI, getting you ready for the full slate of college football games, all three of which in the college football playoff you'll hear right here on WEEI, beginning at 1 o'clock. We have one more segment to get to here on our program. We'll take a break and do that right after this. Back here to wrap things up on WEEI and get you ready for college football coverage, which begins at the top of the hour. Thank you to Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus for joining us to get us ready, not only for the games, but also what to expect from the draft, the quarterback class, which seems like it's kind of gone off a cliff compared to where they were for the 2024 draft. But I digress, and we appreciate his time. To reset things in the National Football League as we click towards Week 18, no Thursday night game coming up, but instead two games on a Saturday. So you have Browns and Ravens at 4:30, and then Bengals and Steelers at 8 o'clock. So it's an ESPN and ABC doubleheader before you get the full slate of Sunday games. Sunday night football is Vikings and Lions for the NFC North title and for the number one seed in the NFC as well. That game is going to rock, and both CBS and Fox have doubleheaders that are scheduled for Sunday, so you'll get a full day's worth of coverage coming into the final week of the season. Bills and the Patriots are at 1 o'clock, and the game will be broadcast on CBS. In the AFC, one spot up for grabs, but three teams vying with Indianapolis now being eliminated. Three teams that are vying for one spot. You have the 9-7 Denver Broncos, and then behind them the 8-8 Miami Dolphins and the 8-8 Cincinnati Bengals. So Denver can control its own destiny if they're able to beat the Carson Wentz-led Kansas City Chiefs, and essentially the B team that you're getting in Kansas City. Game is in Denver, 4:25 kick at Empower Field at Mile High. With a win, Denver is in as the final team to make the playoff. Miami has the tiebreaker over Cincinnati right now, based on win percentage in conference games. They have it as the number 8 seed. So, you know, the health and performance of Tua Tagovailoa has been really the only determinant, because you look at how bad Miami was before he came back from injury. He came back and he was able to kind of right the ship. And there were a couple of like 1 point, 2 point, 3 point games right when he came back. It was a 28-27 loss to the Cardinals, and then a 30-27 loss to the Bills right when Tua came back. And that right now was the difference between them being a playoff team and not. But since that loss to the Bills, they went win, 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 loss, win, loss, win, win. They do play on the road, unfortunately, against the New York Jets. Now, the part where they're playing the Jets is certainly a soft landing for Miami, but they're on the road. So depending on what the forecast is going to be, it's set at 33 degrees out at MetLife. So that is not pro Tua weather going into this final game of the season. Bengals, meanwhile, also at 8-8, so they need a couple of losses to jump those two teams. We'll know the fate of the Bengals by the end of the day on Saturday as they play the Steelers in that night game as part of the doubleheader. So it's going to be win potentially and then watch. But it's a unique spot because if you win, that applies all the pressure on both Denver and Miami to try to take care of their own business if you're Cincinnati. So you'll know one way or another. And God almighty, if the Bengals were a little bit better and essentially if they had any semblance of a defense, we'd be talking about this Joe Burrow season in a much different light with 4,641 passing yards, 42 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions, and setting records in terms of consecutive games with over 250 yards passing and multiple touchdowns. He's been outstanding. He's dragging that team, scratching and clawing into the playoff fight, and they actually have a chance come the final week of the season. Meanwhile, we know now 6 of the 7 teams that will be in the playoffs in the NFC. There is still a division that's up for grabs, and it's the NFC South. So Tampa Bay right now, they're in the catbird seat at 9-7. So as long as they can take care of business, they play the 5-11 New Orleans Saints at home at Raymond James Stadium, and it's supposed to be 63 degrees down in Tampa, Florida. So if they take care of business, they are in as the 4 seed. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Falcons at 8-8, they would have to win and also obviously have Tampa lose, but there is a chance that the Falcons could jump the Bucs and jump into that spot in the NFC South. Falcons are hosting the 4-12 Carolina Panthers at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Of those two teams, I would be rooting for Tampa Bay. I think the bake show down in Tampa is a lot more exciting just to watch as an NFL consumer. And watching the playoffs unfold. But, you know, Atlanta's become an interesting story with their change at the quarterback position. So it'd be kind of a cool David and Goliath story to see them sneak in. But Baker's a lot of fun to watch. That offense in Tampa moves the ball really well. They've started to run it really well with Bucky Irving kind of emerging. Also member of the all-name team in the NFL in Bucky Irving. But that's what's up for grabs. And then we know that the two teams are in, but the difference between Detroit and Minnesota right now is the number one seed and the number five seed. So you go from home field advantage throughout your NFC's side of the playoffs to the number five seed and starting the playoffs on the road against Tampa. That is what's at stake for Detroit and Minnesota when they play each other on Sunday night. So a ton to go in. Incredible seasons. The fact that Minnesota is 14-2 with Sam Darnold as their quarterback is a compliment to the way that their defense has been shored up under Brian Flores as their defensive coordinator and the play calling ability to be able to make something of that offense and make the best of Sam Darnold, who has really kind of put together a resurgence in his career. So that's going to be a ton of fun to watch in the NFC. On the side of the AFC, in determining between Denver, Miami, and Cincinnati, I'm rooting for the underdog. Let's go Cincinnati, because playoff Joe Burrow is a different kind of animal, and we're already coming off of a regular season for the record books for Joe Burrow. So what he could potentially do in an underdog spot as that seven seed, even if you could just get any kind of defense, if you could try to keep the opponent under 30 points, Burrow's balling right now. So I would be really fascinated to see what he could do to try to bring his game to even another level in the playoffs to try to will his team to a win. Miami with Tua, you know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to go on the road. They're going to play the Buffalo Bills at Orchard Park the next week, and they're going to get their doors blown off. It's going to be like a touchdown and two picks and maybe 150 yards for Tua or what have you, and it's going to be ugly. And Denver, I'm happy with the season that they put together, but I'm not sure Bo Nix is ready for that stage. So give me Joe Burrow if we get the chance to see him in the playoffs. But with that being said, the music is playing, which means it's time for us to let you go. We have coverage of college football coming up beginning at 1 o'clock and the full slate of college football playoff games that you can hear right here on WEEI. Been a pleasure to be with you here on this New Year's Day. Happy New Year to you all. We're wishing you happy, healthy, and prosperous New Year's out there in the Boston area and the New England area as a whole for all of our affiliates all around New England. A happy New Year to you as well. Tom, great job as always, my man. Happy New Year's to you. Now go take a nap, because that's exactly what I'm doing.
Appreciate it, Dan. Happy New Year to you too, yo.
Thank you so much for listening. Again, the guys on Jones and Keefe are back tomorrow. The full slate back tomorrow. So All those guys, we'll talk to you then. Happy New Year, and college football action coming up next.